Over the past week, as you know, we have seen cases of COVID-19 continue to rise in Pennsylvania. And even more concerning than that alone, we continue to see the number of Pennsylvanians hospitalized increase every day, and we see the number of Pennsylvanians in intensive care increase. Both of those things are cause for real concern in Pennsylvania. Every day, COVID continues to spread, and every day our numbers continue to rise, and that puts our healthcare system at risk, and it puts our healthcare workers at risk. To help stop the spread, we today are going to be announcing a new testing strategy in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and one that we hope is going to help improve access to testing for Pennsylvanians in every part of the state. The Department of Health has expanded its contract with AMI, Expeditionary Healthcare, to deploy 5 regional testing strike teams throughout Pennsylvania over the next 12 weeks. The strike teams will provide testing services to residents of 61 of the 67 counties who do not have their own health service, their own county health department. And Pennsylvania is pleased to be able to partner with AMI to provide additional testing resources for regions of the state experiencing COVID outbreaks. So, starting tomorrow, that's Wednesday, December 2nd, free testing will begin in 4 counties with recent rapid increases in COVID case numbers. And those counties are Bedford County, Mifflin County, Tioga County, and Northampton County. The 5th location will open in Butler County on Friday, December 4th, 3 days from now, December 4th, and the strike teams in all of these areas will move to new locations each week, and the most up-to-date information can be found as to where they're going to be in the Department of Health website. Again, I want to thank AMI and all of our testing partners for everything they are doing and that they do to keep Pennsylvanians safe and informed about our health. Our testing capabilities have come a long way, as you all know, over the past several months. And that's in large part in thanks to our testing partners like the Latino Connection, Quest Diagnostics, Walmart, Pennsylvania's county health departments, and all of our hospitals and health systems and community health centers, including our federally qualified health centers, the FQHCs, as well as the faith-based organizations involved with the faith-based testing initiative under the Department of Health's Office of Health Equity. All of these organizations have stepped up to help serve the people of Pennsylvania in a time of great need. When COVID first began to spread in the Commonwealth, you recall, last spring, we had an awful lot to learn about this virus. Until early March, there wasn't a COVID test widely available for use by health officials. And once an accurate test became available, there were all kinds of shortages of necessary testing supplies that further complicated efforts to swiftly ramp up our testing, our case investigations, our contact tracing. But we knew from the beginning that testing, case investigations, and contact tracing would be critical to protecting Pennsylvania, so we kept working at it. And that's why we've dedicated so many resources to expanding our testing capacity throughout the summer and the fall. Our goal is to ensure that everyone who needs a test in Pennsylvania can get one. And while we will continue to explore ways to improve the process, I think it's probably important that we look back to see how far we've come. If you take the 3-month period between March and May of this year, we administered in that 3-month time period 67,000 tests, COVID tests. Right now, as of 1st of December, we're capable of doing nearly that many tests in one day. Since March, the Pennsylvania Department of Health has received nearly 6 million test results, and the average number of test results received per day over the last 30 days is more than 50,000. I think our biggest single day was around 70,000 tests. So testing is a critical tool in the fight against COVID, but we need to pair it with effective case investigations, contact tracing, and mitigation measures to prevent the spread of this virus. We need every Pennsylvanian who contracts COVID to cooperate with our public health professionals and contact tracers. It's one of the best ways for you to protect your friends, your neighbors, your family members, and to stop the spread in the community. And there are things every single one of us Pennsylvanians can do to stop this spread. It's essential that every Pennsylvanian take the threat of this virus seriously, and that we all, each one of us, each and every one of us, follows mitigation measures. Those measures include simple things like wearing a mask, stay home when you don't have to go out, follow the travel restrictions, and we have restrictions on restaurants and businesses. All these are in place to stop this virus from hurting more Pennsylvanians and getting through this as quickly as we possibly can. Right now, what we can do is all unite to stop the spread of this virus. If we work together, if we follow mitigation measures, if we stay home whenever we can, if we wear masks whenever we have to leave our homes, we actually can stop the spread of this virus in our communities, and we can save lives. This holiday season, what a wonderful thing to do. Thank you very much, and now I'm going to turn this over to our testing director, Michael Huff, for more details on the expanding testing. Michael.
Thank you, Governor Wolf. Good afternoon, everyone. Every Tuesday, I brief you on the testing and contact tracing activities of the Commonwealth. We stress the importance of being tested when you have symptoms, have been identified as a contact, or are involved in a COVID-19 outbreak. As the governor has already indicated, today I would like to discuss Pennsylvania's expansion of testing for COVID-19. This was done through an extension of a contract with AMI Expeditionary Healthcare to provide COVID-19 testing in five health regions across Pennsylvania to help contain local spread of COVID-19. This expanded contract allows for five teams to provide regional testing in 60 counties over the next 12 weeks, with one of the 60 sites providing testing for two counties. The six counties not receiving testing from AMI have county health departments who are currently providing testing at their sites. This is all part of Pennsylvania's public health infrastructure testing that we talked about several times. It's utilizing the resources and leveraging the strengths of the federally qualified health centers, the county municipal health departments that account for 40% of Pennsylvania's population, as well as Pennsylvania Health's Department of Health infrastructure of state health centers. When you think of AMI being a surrogate for the health centers to provide significant testing in those counties that are of greatest need, we've seen a rapid increase of positive case counts reaching record high levels, which gives us significant cause for concern. AMI has been a significant partner to the Department of Health by providing pop-up testing in counties with a high positivity rate and other factors contributing to outbreaks of COVID-19 across the Commonwealth. These testing sites are open to anyone, who feels they need a test. The Department of Health will continue to deploy testing based on the number of total case confirmed cases per 100,000 people in a county, as well as where outbreaks are currently happening. Increased testing will assist in determining the prevalence of the virus and assist the counties in moving forward. Counties of concern, identified as those with percent positives above 5%, can be found on the early warning monitoring dashboard. Each county is being monitored as the state continues to examine all available data. As the governor indicated, beginning tomorrow, Wednesday the 2nd, drive-through and indoor walk-in testing clinics will be held in the following counties: Bedford, Mifflin, Tioga, and Northampton, with Butler starting on Friday. Testing will be available daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., starting tomorrow, and go through Sunday, December 6th. And the testing site addresses can be found on the Department of Health's website. Anyone is welcome. No appointment is necessary. Patients are encouraged to bring a photo ID or insurance card for ID. Registration will also be completed on-site, and the turnaround time for testing results will be 2 to 7 days after testing. Up to 450 patients can be tested per day at each location on a first-come, first-served basis, and again, is completely free to all patients. The type of test we're using is the gold standard PCR test. It's done with a swab placed in the center of your nose, twirled a couple times, very simple. Patients must be aged 3 and older, and again, are not required to show symptoms of COVID-19 to be tested. However, it's important for everyone to know that even though you have no symptoms, you test positive, you must isolate to stop the spread of COVID-19. Remember, case investigation and contact tracing remain essential components of COVID-19 response and are a key strategy to interrupt disease transmission and reduce spread of the virus in a community. So after you're tested and you receive a call from the Department of Health, answer it. Participate in the conversation and help decrease the burden of COVID-19 in your area. As a reminder, COVID Alert PA, the exposure notification and resource app, is an important tool that you can use to join the fight against COVID-19. I encourage you to download that app and use it daily. To date, there have been over 340,000 downloads. Testing, contact tracing, isolation, quarantine, and other critical mitigation efforts, such as wear your mask, wash your hands, social distance, avoid large groups, download the COVID-19 Alert app, and answer the call and participate in case investigations and contact tracing, and holiday gatherings with only your immediate family household members. These are all a bridge to get us over the next 6 to 8 weeks until a vaccine may be available. We can do this. As Governor Wolf says, COVID-19 is tough, but working together, Pennsylvanians are tougher. Governor Wolf and I will now take on topic-related questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Huff. Our first question is from Chris Mamula. Chris, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, Director Huff. Thanks for being available today. Two easy questions. The first is there any reason why Juniata County was not included in the original rollout? And second is, will the new testing program replace the pop-up testing in the counties?
Thank you for those questions. Second question first. No, this AMI contract will not replace the pop-up. In the event we have a serious outbreak in an area where we need special attention, those pop-up testing sites will continue. In addition, I want to remind you that it's not just AMI testing sites that are available throughout Pennsylvania. As we've talked before, we have over 550 contracted sites currently, and with the new AMI contract, as well as the county municipal health departments and FQHCs, an additional 400. So there are other sites where Pennsylvania citizens may go get tested in the event they need to. Juniata County was not passed over. In terms of utilization, Juniata County and Mifflin County site will serve both of those areas.
Thank you.
Next up will be Seth Kaplan from ABC 27. Seth, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hey, thanks so much. To Director Huff first, and then I've got one for the governor, if I may. I'm wondering whether the fall surge has exceeded even the expectations for the fall surge. I'm just asking because I saw 180 new deaths. And if you kind of go back and look at everybody's forecast, CDC, it seems like what we're seeing is just beyond anything that anybody expected. Could you provide a little perspective?
Yes, some of your question broke up, but I think I have the gist of it. We look at modeling from all over the country, and the modeling tells us what we might be able to anticipate or expect. Factored into this fall surge, obviously, has been the holiday travel, spending time in small groups, large groups, which again increases cases, and we won't see those cases probably for another week, maybe 10 days. And we'll see even greater spikes at that particular point in time. This is a very, very dangerous time not to use the mitigation efforts that we tell you. But are we surprised that it is worse than it is? This continues to demonstrate that we're not surprised at anything we see. And our job is to reinforce these strong mitigation efforts that we hope you will share with your constituents so that we can control this disease.
Next up is Jamie Martinez from Spotlight PA. And Jamie, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you. My question's for Governor Wolf. Thank you. Governor Wolf, back on November 23rd, the administration issued an order that set metrics for when hospitals have to scale back elective procedures. But back in March, at least one major health system decided to ignore a similar order for a time and do procedures anyway. So how will you be enforcing this order, and will there be any penalties if systems don't comply?
Yeah, we are working more closely with hospitals and health systems than we were back in March. If you recall, back in March, we had a statewide ban on elective surgeries. Right now, what we have is a regional approach, we are working with healthcare officials. And when it comes down to it, it's really something that they're going to enforce themselves first, because they have no incentive, either from a staffing point of view or from a facilities point of view, to let their healthcare system be overwhelmed. They've seen what's happened in other states. And in conversations with them, I am convinced that there is nobody with a greater incentive to make this work than the healthcare systems themselves. So we're working with them to make sure that we do this the right way. There is no one, most of all the healthcare systems, who want them, their facilities to be overwhelmed.
And if I may follow up, related to hospital staffing, if facilities find themselves struggling, as some already say they are based on people that I've spoken to in systems across the state, you know, what state resources will be deployed to assist with staffing issues if they don't, doctors right. and nurses?
Well, I'll let maybe Michael can help with some of this, but it's not just state, but also federal resources. And hospitals will also help each other so that we're working in terms of things like machinery, equipment. We can share that. In terms of personal protective equipment, we at the state have stockpiled between the beginning of the pandemic and now. We have a lot of things that we can share so that we'll be helping out. The National Guard stands ready to help. And the federal government has programs that they brought up and that we made use of back in the spring phase of this pandemic that I'm pretty sure we'll be able to take advantage of moving forward if we have that need. Right now, the focus is on making sure the healthcare systems we have in place right now here in Pennsylvania don't get to the point of being overwhelmed. And we Pennsylvanians can do everything, a lot of things, to make sure that we prevent that from happening simply by wearing a mask, simply by staying home when we don't have to go out. This is where what we do, each of us individually, makes a big difference in the overall outcome and the safety of our fellow Pennsylvanians.
Next up is Harry Lee from Fox 43. Harry, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
I believe this is for Mr. Huff, actually. So I have two questions. One, how much is this contract for, and where is the money coming from? And also, when the vaccine arrives, would you consider transitioning these centers to administer vaccines?
Well, let me talk about the contract first. The Pennsylvania Department of Health receives federal dollars from the Epidemiology Laboratory Capacity Grant, and specific dollars have been allocated that are targeting testing. So that's where the money is from, and that's exactly what we will be doing to enhance our testing program. As far as vaccine, I can tell you that the Department of Health continues to plan, and as the landscape changes in terms of where the vaccine is going, what the vaccine is going to be targeted to, whom it's going to be targeted to, those plans will be, they're very nimble, and they will be completed and addressed to handle any of those. At this particular point in time, because we ACIP is meeting even as we speak to determine priorities, we're not sure exactly who will be administering those doses.
Next up is Mike Rubenkamp from the Associated Press. Mike, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Director Huff, a question about contact tracing. You know, you obviously have a huge number of cases to contend with, as well as testing delays, and you're only reaching a small fraction of the people who test positive. I believe it was 13% in the last reporting period. So I'm just wondering, at what point, you know, does contact tracing become essentially useless, and is Pennsylvania at that point? Why or why not?
Thank you, Michael. Contact tracing is not useless. Our percent is currently is about 21%, and I would say to you that's 21% of disease that we're handling and that we're providing education and isolation quarantine when necessary. The shortfall of case investigations and contact tracing has actually, the communication that we've provided and the assistance we've received from the media has actually demonstrated that many groups around Pennsylvania have actually reached out to us and said, we want to help. How can we help? So we continue to talk to those stakeholders, continue to talk to people who really want to be part of the solution. I can tell you, as I have before, the important thing is to have folks answer the phone and engage in a conversation with the Department of Health and be able to kind of control this disease in their particular area, because this is their area. This is their home. This is their family and their neighbors that we're talking about. But we will not be giving up on contact tracing. We have done a good job of prioritizing to get the most bang out of it that we can. And it's working for us. And we will continue to refine the system. We will continue to modify anything we need to do so that we can control this disease. Thank you.
Mike, any follow-up?
Yeah, I mean, the 13% comes from your own numbers. That I think that was the percentage of people that you actually successfully reached of the positive cases. It was only 13%.
Michael, there's two numbers. There's a number. The first number is the ones that we reached within 24 hours, and then there's the one that we reached within 48 hours. And my reference to 31 is adding those two together. But thank you.
Next up is Aaron McCarthy from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Aaron, go ahead and unmute yourself. Aaron, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We've got you.
Okay, sorry. Thanks for taking the time, Michael. I have two questions. One is for you and the other is perhaps for you and Governor Wolf. My first question is, do the 61 counties to which strike teams will be deployed include Delaware County, which doesn't have its own health department, but is currently being run by the Chester County Health Department?
Yes, Aaron, it will. We're doing all, there is a state health center, Department of Health State Health Center in the city of Chester. So we will be obviously setting that up as well.
Okay, and my other question for you and Governor Wolf is, does the omission of counties with their own health departments indicate that the Commonwealth is satisfied with the number of testing sites and the accessibility of testing in places like Montgomery, Bucks, Chester, and Philadelphia counties? And can you kind of expound on how testing is going in those places, particularly in the southeastern portion of the state.
Certainly, Aaron. Let me start, and then I'll turn it over to Governor Wolf for any other comments. As you know, each of the county municipal health departments in the southeastern district of Pennsylvania have received funding from the Department of Health for the purposes of testing, the same type of funding that the Department of Health gets. Philadelphia, on the other hand, receives directly from CDC HHS. They receive their own ELC grant dollars, per se. So we look at them somewhat separately, but I can tell you that they are doing the testing. The other county health departments that I'm talking about are key partners of the Department of Health in assuring that testing is made available. We work seamlessly with them to assure that this is done, and again, provide the funding so that they're able to accomplish the same success that we are. Thank you. Governor?
I think Michael answered your question, but just again, for the counties without their own health department, the State Department of Health is automatically the health department for those counties. So the reason it makes sense for us to be looking at those 61 counties first is because we are their health department.
And our last question this afternoon is from Crispin Haver from WGAC. Go ahead, Crispin.
Thank you. Thank you, Governor Wolf. Governor, you and Dr. Levine have said for months the virus is doing the talking and it's what's driving your decisions. Well, the virus is doing a lot of talking the past few weeks with case numbers in the stratospheres, hospitalizations at a record pace, and deaths not far behind. Yet the state is only advocating right now for plugging holes, it seems. While I know no one wants to go back to what we saw with restrictions in the spring, is the virus still doing the talking here, or is the political and public pressures driving the ship here? Because to me, just looking at the numbers, seeing the modeling that says we might run out of ICU beds in the state, it looks like if we keep trying to plug the holes, the ship is going to sink.
Yeah, no, good question. I think we have to keep in mind we're in a different place now than we were back in March. And so we're addressing this in a different way. We're no less anxious to do everything we can to defeat this virus, but we are in a different place. The vaccines actually, according to the vice president yesterday, should start being available sometime this month. We might have as many as millions of vaccines available in this country starting this month, December. And that's just going to increase exponentially as we move into the early months of 2021. So we're in a different place. We have more personal protective equipment. What we're doing right now is something we couldn't do as well back in April, back in March, and that is focus on the healthcare systems to make sure that in each area, each region of the state, they're doing everything they can. They have the capacity to respond. So as you recall, I came out last week with three criteria for getting hospitals, healthcare systems to reduce dramatically their elective surgery and elective healthcare. We didn't do anything with the kind. We did a broad-based, one-size-fits-all, statewide ban on elective health procedures back in March and April. We're not doing that now. We are doing, I think, a much better job focusing on the elective care issue and the capacity issue. It's more focused. It's more laser-like. It's not as broad-based, not as draconian. Maybe that's what you're talking about, but it's every bit, we hope, is going to be every bit as successful. So the virus is still in charge. We're still fighting the virus. That's the enemy. And we're going to do everything, continue to do everything we can to fight that virus.